Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Stephanie L., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater in Southern California. Today is Wednesday, the 1st of February, 2023, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today, we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and we are in the chapter, How It Works, and we are on page 59, reading the first paragraph, Half Measures Availed Us Nothing, ending with Protection and Care with Complete Abandon. Today's readers are Justin B., who will be reading the text, Sherry Z., reading page 164, and Mo H. will be our backup reader today. Newcomer greeter is Christina M., and announcements will be Robin P. The reference number for yesterday, Tuesday, January 31st, 2023, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, is 19,905-19905. And today's 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 19,911-19911. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive eating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Liz A. to read the 12 steps of OA.
Good morning. This is Liz A. from California. And these are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me be of service, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Liz A., and I will now ask Terry H. to read the 12 traditions of OA.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you, Stephanie, for your service. My name is Terry H. I'm from Pensacola, Florida, a grateful recovered food addict. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should be first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God who may express himself in our group conscious. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to compulsive overeaters who still suffer. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Number eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personality. Thank you for giving me this opportunity to be of service this month. With that, I pass.
Thank you, Terry H., and thank you for your service. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does, though, request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted, and we ask that you do use the star 1 function and not just mute on your phone. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We're on page 59, reading the first full paragraph that begins with half measures availed us nothing and finishes with, or ending with, protection and care with complete abandon. Just reading that one paragraph. I will now ask Justin B. to begin reading.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Justin B., living in the state of Washington and living in the state of recovery one day at a time. Half measures availed us nothing. We stood at the turning point. We asked his protection and care with complete abandon. What a powerful paragraph to be able to share on, one that I feel insufficient and capable of doing so effectively, but I'm going to give it my best with God's help here. Half measures availed me nothing, and the last phrase in this paragraph is one of the places where half measures is accentuated. We asked his protection and care with complete abandon. For me, complete abandon is a powerful word. It's one that has recently come up in many places in my recovery, in my studies, and there's a few places in the Big Book where this word comes up, and there are places that, well, we read every meeting here in this vision meeting, and there's another place at the end of the third step prayer where after the third step prayer, which I don't know about you, but I say every single day at least once, the last sentence of that paragraph says that we could at last abandon ourselves utterly to him. There's another no half measures word, utterly, for you. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. This word abandon is powerful. And there are some things that I have learned in my own walk as I've been walking through recovery that I have to absolutely abandon. No half measures. There are aisles in the grocery store that I have zero business walking down. I abandon those aisles. There's no reason to be there other than to look and lust after food. There are foods in my, I live in a house where there aren't other compulsive eaters. We have foods in our pantry and in our refrigerator that are not my food. I have to abandon completely those foods. I have a statement that comes to my mind every time I recognize those foods and I start feeling like I'm coming out of food neutrality, and that is hashtag not my food. It's not my food. I have to abandon it on the battlefield. It's got to stay there, and I have zero intention of going back. Now, because I live in this world, I have to open the refrigerator to get my food out. I have to open the pantry to get my food out, hashtag my food. But hashtag not my food is still in there. But I don't need to touch it. I don't need to move it. I don't need to play with it. Half measures avail me nothing. And when I look at the all there and I look at the complete abandon, initially that brings a lot of restriction. But now I find it's freedom. I don't have to worry about playing with other people's food. I don't have to worry about the fantasy of it. It's not my food. Hashtag not my food. Anyways, I am Justin. I am gratefully recovered compulsive overeater, and I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Justin B., for getting us started this morning. So now we're going to open it up. But before we do, I just want to say a couple things. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you shared on Friday, Monday, or Tuesday, we ask that you allow others to share their experience today. And if you could please give me your first name, last initial, and where you're calling from, that would be awesome. So who would like to share on this paragraph?
Sherry Z.
Okay, I've got Sherry Z. And then who is the next person?
Denise G, California.
Okay, Denise G, California. And who else would like to share?
Kristen R.
Kristen R. And Kristen, where are you from?
Virginia.
Virginia. All right. And who else would like to share?
Elaine B.
All right. Gotcha, Elaine B. And we can probably take one more for this lineup. Anyone else like to add your name?
Jordan L.
All right. Jordan L. All right. So I've got Sherry Z, Denise G., Kristen R., Elaine B., and Jordan L., and we'll go ahead and start with Sherry Z.
Stephanie, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Sherry Z., Los Angeles, recovered in Los Angeles, compulsive overeater. Thank you for your service, and thank you, Justin, for a beautiful reading on abandon. Stood at the turning point. How many times have I stood literally having a choice? Do I go this way or that way? And it was always about abandoning my way of thinking. Like when I stood there, am I standing in front of the food or I'm standing in front of God? And a turning point is a decisive change. And I just remember that a little over 15 months ago, after 31 plus years in program, I asked myself, am I going to die still with my head constantly in negotiation with God? And that turning point has led to abandoning what I love, what Dustin introed with, which abandoning not my food so that I could have real freedom. Like really abandoning my way of thinking, my way of doing things, my way of negotiating, my understanding of how everything should be and how it should look and what I should control. And it required standing in front of God literally every day and saying, here's the change. You're in charge. I'm not. I surrender. And I just want to say I woke up with a ton of resentments yesterday, and I just stood there in my vision with God, did the steps, worked the program, and ended up having a great day. And that never happened before I was willing to abandon my way of doing things. I wasn't sitting. I was standing, metaphorically. That turning point has changed everything. And for those of you that are still suffering, please join us because that turning point can happen now. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Sherry Z from California, from Los Angeles. Next up, we have Denise G.
Hi, good morning. Thank you so much, Stephanie, for moderating this morning. My name is Denise G. from Northern California, and my eyes widened open this morning when I heard that we're reading, because I use this phrase so much, half measures avail me nothing. That's what stood out to me this morning. I did this for so many years, half measures. And I thought, well, I did this, this, and this. I should be good. I did it for so long. And this time around, I do everything that is asked of me. Not perfectly, but I do everything that is asked of me, working these steps. I know two pages in this book. I can remember the page of where it's at. 417 acceptance and page 69 the sex inventory. I don't know why I remember those two silly pages, but I do. But now, because I use this phrase a lot, and when I talk to other fellows, it's page 59. Half measures avail of nothing. Because I did it for so long, I can't do it anymore. And I abandoned myself to my higher power every day. I'm so appreciative for this meeting, and you know, I have to keep coming back. I heard a couple of years ago at a meeting somebody saying, well, I do this every day, and that was like an aha moment for me. I can do this every day, because I was told to go to 3 meetings a week, and it's like, oh, okay, I'll do that. But now I go every day. Most often I go twice a day. It's just these little shares from other fellows that help me along this path of recovery. And I needed to talk because I just love this. And I thank you all for being here. Welcome the newcomers. I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Denise G. from Northern California. Let's see, next up we have Kristen R. from Virginia.
Good morning. My name is Kristen R. From Virginia, and I'm a compulsive overeater. Thank you to everybody who made this meeting possible today. I am struggling with getting out of half measures. Yesterday, I had a call with another person in program, and she very gently and honestly told me that I'm probably still having food thoughts because there are emotions that haven't been dealt with yet, because I'm, you know, keeping a secret that is that I don't ever want anyone to know or share. And that's blocking me because I want to do a half measure. And a half measure is forgetting, you know, what I did. A half measure is saying, saying it's not that big of a deal. A half measure is saying it's not affecting my recovery. It's okay. When the truth is that it is affecting my recovery. Keeping a secret is difficult. It's exhausting, really. And my instinct is to, just all of a sudden tell everybody and, you know, kind of verbally vomit over everybody. But that would harm people. And so I need program because I need to process these feelings of grief around this secret. And half measures avail me nothing. I have to do the steps. I have to get through this program of action. And because I'm having food thoughts, I have to move quickly through the steps. I can't dawdle, and I can't keep saying these food thoughts aren't a big deal, because eventually they'll lead me back into the food. And then I'll be, you know, starting all over at step zero again. So just for today, it's really important that I stick to my food plan and that I keep processing my fourth step, that I keep working at it. And I always welcome outreach calls. If anyone is available to do that, I'm in the directory. So thank you very much for listening, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Kristen R. Next up, we have Elaine B.
Thanks so much for your service, Stephanie, and great share so far. We stood at the turning point, okay? Everything changes. You're turning down this road. You are turning. You're turning towards something for sure, but you're turning away from a lot of things. You know, I got to let go of self-reliance. I got to let go of independence. I got to let go of my plan and my way, which clearly wasn't working because I had 100 extra pounds on my body. You know, it wasn't working. And I love that we asked God's protection and care with complete abandon. And, you know, that's, I think, probably really what I was looking for, to be safe, to be protected, to be guided in all of my decisions, and my decisions certainly about food and about this program. And am I going to be able to go do through all this and keep doing it one day at a time? How am I going to face the waves that are coming at me today? How am I going to face the challenges, you know, in this crazy world that we live in? We ask this protection and care with complete abandon. And abandon means I got to give it up. I got to let go of the reins. I got to let him drive the bus. I have to let go and let God. I love that saying. Somebody's unmuted and moving some papers around or something. You can mute your phone. That would be great. And so utterly abandon myself to the care of God. Not to the tyrannical tyranny of God, but of the loving care. And that way, you know, I have to choose to trust. And that is a really, really hard thing to do. I can't do it halfway. I can't say, I'm going to trust you with one meal a day instead of three meals a day. I'm going to trust you with one relationship that triggers me to eat or run. And not trust you with everything. No, we're talking about, and it's a step of faith, you know. Makes me think of that, Bugs Bunny on this, you know, metal beam that's going over, and then he just takes one step and he's on the next one. And so we need to have, this is a new thing. It's almost like when we're getting married, you know, we don't know what we're really in for. We think we know, we have a good idea of what this person is. And yet we get to continue for a lifetime. And I'm so grateful that I get to do this every single day, turn myself over to his protection and care. And I'll pass with that. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Elaine B. And before we take Jordan L., get ready. After Jordan, we're going to take some more names to share your experience with this paragraph. So, Jordan, you're up.
Thank you for moderating for us this morning. My name is Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Gunnison, Colorado. I'm very grateful to be abstinent and on a meeting of Overeaters Anonymous this morning. What a weird thing for me to be grateful for that, huh? And I think that the reason I'm grateful, it's right here, alcohol, my alcoholic foods. Cunning, baffling, and powerful. My alcoholic behaviors, they're probably even more cunning, baffling, and powerful. I arrived here and I listened to the experience of others, and I really see myself within that. I really see that I'm without defense against this first drink, or in our case, that first compulsive bite. And I really understand that. I really understand that my mental defenses, the very best of my intellect is not, it's no match for this, you know? Alcohol was my master. And I see that in my own experience. Like, I had really, without Overeaters Anonymous, I had really made a commitment to no sugar, no flour. Like, I was fully on board with that proposition. Like, I was there. I was in the midst of entire abstinence, no sugar, no flour, 80 pounds lighter, riding high on life, you know? And 9 months later, I had given it all up and was left completely and totally baffled by this disease. when I got here and I was like at that turning point, right? It's not willpower and dominance over the food that we're asking for here. It's protection and care, you know? it really is a turning point. It's so different. What we're doing here, this decision we're making, is so different than the decisions that we've made in the past. Like, we're making a decision to turn to protection and care with complete abandon, instead of our mental defense, you know, or our willpower, or even like the next great food plan, the next great diet plan, you know? So thanks for letting me share. That's all I got.
Thank you so much. Jordan L. from Colorado. If you've just joined us, we're on page 59, the first full paragraph, Half Measures Availed Us Nothing, reading that one paragraph. And I can take another lineup of names. Please give us your first name, last initial, and where you're calling from. Who would like to share?
Laura W. from New Jersey.
I've got Laura W. from New Jersey.
Jody E.
I heard Jody E.
Yes.
Mo H., California.
And M.
Washington.
And Deb E.
And M. Deb E. I can probably take one or two more.
Julie P., Minnesota.
Julie P. from Minnesota. Okay. Anyone else want to get into?
Peter M., California.
From Ohio.
Okay. I'm going to cap it at Peter M. from California because I think that's all we'll have time for. So I've got Laura W., Jody E., Mo H., Ann M., Deb E., Julie P., and Peter M., and we'll go ahead and start with Laura W. And Laura, if you can hit star one, please. We can't hear you.
Okay, here I am. Can you hear me now?
Thanks. Yes, we can. Thank
okay.
you.
Okay, I'm hitting star one over and over. Hi, everyone. This is Laura W. I'm a recovered compulsive eater, anorexic and exercise bulimic in South Jersey. And I'm just going to keep this short because this really reminds me half measures. I did everything half measured. That's my puppy in the background. Sorry. I did everything with half measures my entire life. And the easier, softer way was, you know, I wanted things easy. I didn't want to have to do the work. I wanted things given to me. I was selfish and self-centered. But, you know, half measures in this program are not even going to get me half recovered. They're going to get me nothing. So this is a design for living this program, these 12 steps. It's not an event. It's not something that I just do once and it's done with. And, you know, I'm told over and over that I experience recovery and I experience God when my resistance stops. When I throw up my hands and I say, I have no idea what I'm doing. I don't know how to live my life. And that's really what this was about for me. It wasn't necessarily about the food or the restriction. It was about being unable to live my life and manage my emotions. And you know, to surrender completely. We stood at the turning point. And what's that turning point? Either door A or door B. There is no door C. There is no option C. I either recover or I go into relapse and I die. I mean, it sounds dramatic, but that's the truth. And today I choose recovery and I choose God and I choose this program and I choose doing the work because it does take work, but boy, is it freedom. It truly is freedom. Thank you for letting me share. I pass.
Oh, thank you so much, Laura W. from South Jersey. Next up, we have Jody E. And Jody, we can't
hear
you. Star one, please. Thank you.
Thank you, moderator, for your service. Good morning, everyone. This is Jody E., gratefully recovered in California. So what are half measures is what I'm wondering, what I'm thinking. Half measures when it comes to step one is that I put down some of my alcoholic foods, maybe my glaring red light foods, but not the yellow light foods. That would be half measures for me. And whereas it might get me part of the way there to a clear mind and an open mind, it doesn't get me all the way there. So why wouldn't I want to be completely clear so that my mind can be still? I'm not obsessing about the food. I can focus instead on working the rest of the steps. Half measures when it comes to turning my will and my life over to the care of God, which is a big one, you know. What this paragraph is asking me to do is to abandon myself completely to this higher power that I don't perhaps understand or even believe in. That's a tall order. But it's being suggested to me that I abandon myself completely. My will and my life. Everything. Abandon everything. Wave the white flag and surrender. Let go and let God. Can I do that completely? Or am I doing it halfway? Half measures when it comes to steps 4 through 9. Am I really putting down everything on my fourth step? Every resentment, every fear, maybe not all, if there's a lot of them, the sexual contacts or whatever. But I'm getting to the heart of the matter in each of those areas, and I'm finding the patterns, and I'm not holding back. And my ninth step, am I willing to go to everyone on my list and make amends to the best of my ability where appropriate, as long as I don't cause harm? In steps 10, 11, and 12, am I going halfway? Am I doing the 10 steps I need to do? Am I praying and meditating every day? Am I giving service? So there's lots of room to rest on my laurels. This is a simple program, but it isn't easy. But eventually I come to want this recovery more than anything else. And I do the work. Not halfway, but all the way. And the more I do it, the more I receive in return. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Jody E. from California. Next up is Mo H.
Hey, good morning. This is Mo H. from Walnut Creek, California, recovered compulsive eater, sugar addict. And thank you, Christina, for your service moderating this month. Wow, powerful shares, powerful paragraph. You know, Bill has a way with his words to just keep building. Each paragraph builds on the next, you know, going from cunning, baffling, and powerful to half measures. So my half measure when I first came into the program was I got the diet and I followed the diet, but in my head, I always thought that someday I would be able to have blank. And to me, that was taking step one halfway. I wasn't taking it 100%. And I heard that's the only step that we take 100%. Everything, put the foods down, all of them. And I listed my red light foods and my yellow light foods. And my sponsor at the time said, yellow light foods are red light foods in disguise. So they needed to go down. So all of that was my half measures. And it doesn't work. You know, as people have said, there's only two doors. You know, I either turn left or I turn right. I either go toward recovery or I go toward relapse. When I was dieting, I was either on a diet or off a diet. There's no middle of the road. There's no fudging around. And then one of the things I learned also, we asked his protection and care with complete abandon, that that's the first prayer in the big book, because there's the word ask. And anytime you see the word ask, there's a prayer following it. And I have to tell you that I say that prayer throughout the day. Please, God, I ask for your care and protection with complete abandon. And complete abandon means giving up completely. You know, surrendering to God's will for me. And the only way I can hear God's will is to step back and pause. The pause is where I can get God's guidance when I am in a mess, let's say, struggling with, you know, what's next. And when I'm helping a sponsee, even. You know, I share with this prayer with them, you know, start saying this prayer and then asking God for guidance and then pausing. And I think that's all I have to share. I think my time's almost up, so I will pass. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Mo H. from California, and Ann M., you're up.
Hi, everybody, friends, members. This is Ann M. from Washington State. I'm just a little nervous because I don't share much, but I must say when I woke up this morning, I was thinking about three things: humility, gratitude, and awe. And this paragraph, I can take this paragraph and use it every single day. Half measures avail me nothing when I am trying to get rid of my obsessive thoughts and my thinking about weight, whatever it is of the day. And I stand at a turning point, and then I can, if I choose, ask my higher powers protection and care with complete abandon, with surrendering. And this program and the Big Book has taught me over the years, many years, humility, about humility, not that I am humble, but I can be humble in every single instance of my life. I can learn more. Gratitude, to be grateful for every little thing, even the difficult challenges, the difficult relationships. I will learn something, and this book tells me that, particularly the steps, when I work the steps, that tells me, and I do work the steps on every little thing, whatever it is. And then the third thing is awe, that sense of awe that I stand before and or kneel or am there before a higher power of my understanding, and I don't understand it. I mean, I really can't understand it. What am I saying? My understanding of what I think that is, but I'm limited in my human powers to do that. So I rely on this book. I rely on members to help me over the years. And it's just been such a humbling, grateful, and awesome experience. So that's it. Thank you all for sharing and for your leaders of this particular day's meeting. Appreciate it.
Well, thank you, Ann M. from Washington. And next up, we have Deb E.
Hi, this is Deb E., recovered compulsive overeater in Israel. And I really like this paragraph. I feel like I've been talking about this a lot lately. The half measures for me were, you know, I resisted. I think it was really clear for me what my binge foods were. But there were some other foods that I put in the yellow category at first, which that category almost no longer exists for me. I have two things in it that are contingent on some details. But, you know, I kept playing with them in the first little bit. I kept thinking, you know, one was yogurt. And I was like, oh, I think I can, you know, I hadn't had it in a long time. And then I think I'd try it again. And it kept failing. And it was, I think it baffled me because it wasn't even the taste or the sugar, it was the texture. Couldn't handle the texture without getting triggered to binge. And I just, you know, I feel like it was the last food thing I held on to. Like I just didn't, I was okay to letting go of everything else. And I felt like I'd let go of so much. Like, why couldn't I just hold on to this one item? And I couldn't, and it didn't work for me. And now, I mean, it's been years and years since I've had it. But, and then I keep thinking about the word abandon, which is, you know, to leave something with no intention of returning to it. And I have no intention of returning to the food. And I also have no intention of returning to a life that doesn't include this, like, great dependence on my higher power. And I don't say that like in a needy way. For me, it's a really good thing. It's like knowing that I have this partner in life that will always lead me the right way. And that's so much more important to me than like all the food stuff. Just knowing that I have that comfort, that I have this, you know, God of my understanding who is looking out for my best intentions and has always guided me. It's really only the only times that guidance has seemed like it wasn't there was when I didn't want to take it. You know, it was always there, but it's whether I choose to take it or not. And every morning I have to make that choice. I have to make that decision to just surrender. And it's, that's, you know, those are two things that have got to be absolutely black and white for me. You know, there is no returning to my binge foods. And there is no life without my higher power. Like there's just, it's not a life that's meaningful and worth living. I need my higher power with me all the time, every day. And it's like I swapped out, you know, the stuff that was not serving me and a complete detriment
gentle
to
reminder.
My well-being. Oh, sure, for the solution that's way better. Thank you, I pass.
Thank you, Deb E. from Israel. And next up, Julie P.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Julie P., recovered in Minnesota, but currently wintering in Texas. I just really want to thank everybody for your service this morning. I was sitting here thinking about half measures. This is the first time in my abstinence and my program that I have experienced the stomach flu. And I have not had a lot of conscious contact with my higher power during this time. I haven't been doing my meetings because my disease is telling me I get a pass because I'm sick. Woe is me. Right. And I learned that by day two, cunning, powerful, and baffling, and only doing half measures, I started getting those food thoughts about those foods that I would eat when I was sick to help my stomach feel better. and those foods are not on my food plan. And I just really want to thank everybody for being here, because and just really thinking about half measures, I don't get a pass. Whether I'm sick or healthy or what it is, I am an addict. And I need my GPS, my God-powered shower, every morning. End of discussion, door A or B. There's only one choice for me. And thank you, everybody. And with that, I'll pass.
Well, thank you so much, Julie P. from Minnesota. And Pete M., you're going to bring us home.
Peter M. from California. Went to my first meeting in person last night, or two nights ago, and that was good for me. And these calls are good for me as well. I'm very good at half measures, perhaps even an expert of justifying around things and not taking my own care very seriously. So it's great to have you all share how that lives for you. And bringing us home with some renewed energy to work the plans. Thank you all. Happy Wednesday.
Well, thank you, Peter M. And we actually have time for a two-minute share. Anyone want to take 2 minutes?
Dion R.
Paula Q. Right, Dion R., you're up. 2 minutes, please.
Thank you, Miss Stephanie. I may not need all this. Good morning, everyone, and grateful for being a part of the solution and woke up hearing this wonderful story about half measures and heard it here in OA, which helped me on a phone meeting years ago when I was a young adult going back to school, and I remember someone gave an example, you know, of this and what it was. And I was in college, and I needed my, you know, my band stuff to get me through. You know, I need this. I need, right? Daddy going all the way, but I need this. Gaining 100 pounds. I need this. And one time, I put some money in the machine. I think it was like 5 cents. Short. Told me, like, probably I had 95 cents. That's 5 cents short. And I couldn't get my band food. And I was so pissed. I started shaking the machine and almost booked. And I started asking people, like, begging for a nickel. I'll give you a nickel. Like I was famous, you know. And I was. And the gift is, I heard someone say in the program, you know, you can, if you want to buy somebody's snack machine, you put a 50, a 1 penny left, you will not get the full result. So I knew I had to, that's with me in the program. I had to throw myself 100% in. I did and have the results almost 11 years later. Yes. Half measures does not work. I mean, no, it doesn't work. But yes, I have to do full measures. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you all for your service. Allow me to be a part of the solution.
Well, thank you so much, Dion. Thank you so much, Dion R. So that's all the time we have today. We'll now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Sherry Z please read A Vision for You?
Absolutely. Thank you all for your service. What a beautiful meeting. I'm Sherry Z, recovered in Los Angeles. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask God in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with God is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.